Hey guys, it's great to be back up here again. Super glad that we could have donuts and have some fun this morning. But if we can now, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And while you guys are opening up, if you guys are taking notes, a couple Wednesdays ago, we talked about Matthew 5, 43 through 48. And does anyone remember what we talked about in Matthew 5, 43? It's okay. We talked about the idea of love. We talked about that we are supposed to love those around us, how God loves us, not how the world loves each other. That the world loves each other based upon what they can get, not what they can give. And the way that God loves us is he gives us everything that we need. He gives us salvation. He gives us life. In that same way, we're supposed to love other people. Today, we're going to keep building off of that thought, and we're going to ask, why do we do good things? And our answer is going to be, we do good things because we love others as God loves us. And just thinking as some examples, what are some good things that you could do for the wrong reason? I think of someone that says, I want to help the homeless. I want to go make sure they have somewhere that they can sleep. I want to go make sure that they have food. But then you realize, as soon as they're helping people, they're really just doing it so that they can take a video or a photo, and then they can upload it to social media, and so that people think they're a good person. That's doing something good, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Or I think when I was a kid, that when my dad would go to work in the summer, my mom would say, hey, you can have as much fun as you want through the entire day, but you just need to read your Bible for a little bit in the morning. And sadly, I took something good like reading my Bible, and I got really good at sitting there and looking like I was reading my Bible when my mom was in the room. But then as soon as she would leave, I would start talking to my sister or I would do something else. And I wasn't paying attention to my Bible. It looked like I was doing something good, but I was doing it for the wrong reasons. And if you guys are taking notes today, if you guys could, I want you guys to write down a question. Why do I do good works? That's a phenomenal question for you guys just to think about. And talk to your parents, talk to your small group leader about of why do I do good works? And hopefully today we can answer that question for you. If you guys can, let's look back at Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6. Beware of doing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corner, so that they may not be seen by men, or they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that's going to introduce us to our big idea today. Our big idea is do good works to be noticed by God, not man. Our big idea is do good works to be noticed by God, not by man. And another really good question that we can ask, or something that I want you guys to think about, is what I do shows what I love. What I do shows what I love. So I gave the example of the person who says they want to help the homeless, but they're doing it so that they can look good in front of other people. Why are they doing that? They're doing it so they can look good. Versus we have things where God commands us to do good things to help others because we love God. And the question that we can think through is, am I doing this so that I can gain something, or am I doing this so that God can be glorified and that other people can be blessed? If I do good things so that I can gain, if I'm thinking about myself and not others, that actually turns blessings that God has given me, and that turns them into burdens. That makes things really hard when God says, this is supposed to be easy and fun and joyful. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you that we can just come to your church. We can celebrate just Grace Community Church being here for 70 years. Father, thank you so much for men and women like Ryan who have just served so faithfully. I pray that you will bless them for their quiet service to you. Father, I pray as we just look at this passage, I pray that you would open our hearts, and I pray that we would get to see how our actions show our love. In your name, amen. Guys, let's start in verse 1. In verse 1, we have our first point. How should I view good works and rewards? That's more of a question, but how should I view good works and rewards? Guys, there might be something that says, I shouldn't be thinking about rewards. Rewards are bad. I should just be doing this because I love God. But should I be thinking about my rewards? Does God want me to think about doing good things for a reward? And the answer is yes. Like, God really wants us to be thinking about that. God wants me to be excited about doing good things for him and the reward that he's going to give me on this earth and in heaven. Just in our little short passage today, the word reward is mentioned 5 times. In 4 out of those 5 times, it says your Father who's going to give you a reward. If Jesus tells us something 4 times in a row, he wants us to be thinking about it. He wants us to know. I like the idea that thinking about our rewards for doing good deeds, it's not the sole reason why we go and we do good things, but it is a motivator that I shouldn't go clean my room because my mom said that if I do that, I can go do something fun. I should do that because I love my mom. I respect my mom. I want to obey her. But the fact that she said, hey, once you clean your room, you can go do something fun, that is a motivator to go do that. If you guys want to write this down and talk to your parents about it later, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15, talks about how God is going to reward believers. That when Jesus comes back, he's going to take every believer and he's going to look at every single thing that the believers have done in their lives. And if it's a good work, if it's not for themselves, but it's for God and other people, Jesus is going to bless them for all of eternity in heaven with that. Think about that, that you doing something good right now is going to earn a reward in heaven if you're a believer that's going to last forever. There is no end to that. God wants us to be thinking about that. He wants us to be excited about that. And I really like the way that that John MacArthur phrased it. He asked, like, what is this reward that I'm going to get in heaven? And it's simple. It's going to be enjoying the best thing that's in heaven. And that best thing is God. And the thing that we get to celebrate for all of eternity is how good God is. And John MacArthur says, this reward is a greater capacity to enjoy, praise, and serve God in heaven. Guys, I don't know exactly what that's going to be. Does that mean I get to sit a little bit closer to Jesus? Does that mean that I just am able to feel more emotion or I'm able to enjoy heaven for all of eternity? I don't know exactly, but Jesus says that we are going to get a reward, and that reward is going to be enjoying Jesus for all eternity. So thinking just about my rewards, let's just look at verse 1, and let's say what it's not telling us. Let's think about what verse 1 is not telling us. It's not telling us to stop doing good works. We can just read the first couple words. Beware of doing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. You might read that and think, oh, I need to stop being righteous. I have to stop doing good things. But that's not what it's saying. It's assuming that we're already doing good things in front of other people. It's assuming that we're going to do those good things, but it's telling us don't do those good things so that you can be noticed by them. We don't do good things to be noticed by other people, but we do good things for other people so that God can be happy and that we would be rewarded for all of eternity. And God wants us to understand this so much that he gives us 2 examples. In verses 2 through 4, he talks about the man who is giving something to the poor. And then in verses 5 and 6, he's talking about the man who prays out in the open. And God gives us those 2 examples because he wants us to understand why we should do good works. Our second point then is going to be good works for bad reasons. Our second point is good works for bad reasons. And in verses 2 through 4, we deal with giving, and we should ask the question, like, what is giving and why should I give? Guys, giving to other people is recognizing in your heart that Jesus has given you everything you need and saying, I want to give just a little bit of what God has given me to other people, that when I went to sleep last night, it was God that kept me alive during the night. It was God that woke me up. It's God that gives me the air that I breathe. It's God that gives me a family that helps give me food and a house and water. God gives me every single thing that I have in my life. There's nothing I have apart from him. And just because of that love and that recognition, I now want to give just a little bit of that to other people. And God cares so much about how we give to other people that he talks about it a bunch in the Bible. You guys don't have to turn there, but I'll just talk about it. That starting in Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 8, if there is one needy among you, one of your brothers, you shall not harden your heart nor close your hand to him, but you shall freely open your hand to him and give generously. You shall lend him sufficiently in whatever he lacks. So that even in the Old Testament, God is telling Israel, if you have something and someone else needs it, give it to them. Don't think about what you're going to get back from them. You just give it to them, knowing that I gave you everything that you have. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. That's a strange way to think about it, that if you give what God has given you to other people, he says that you're going to be blessed. But if you say, no, this is mine, I'm not going to help anyone, like I earned it, this is my paycheck, this is my candy, God says that curses are going to come upon you, that life is going to be hard, and that what's even the little bit that you have, he might even take back from you to teach you a lesson. And then lastly, in 1 Timothy 6, 18 through 19, that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he wants Timothy to talk to rich people, and he wants rich people to know, command them, Timothy, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. They need to store up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. That God wants rich people, people that have everything in life, that if they need $100, they have $10,000. They have more than they could ever use. He wants rich people to see the money you have isn't going to save you. The money that you have is not the most important thing. The most important thing is heaven. And the way that you can show that heaven is the most important thing to you is you give what you have to people who are in need. Guys, with giving, the problem is never helping others. It's helping others so that we could be seen. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48, that, yeah, even the world loves the Gentiles and the tax collectors, really bad people that they love, but that's a love so that they can earn something, where God wants us to love in the way that he loves us is to just reward people, is just to love people well. And that verses 2 through 4, just it gives some descriptors of people that don't love well. Our first one is in verse 2, Jesus calls them a hypocrite. Guys, a hypocrite is not a nice word. That's one person who says one thing and then does another. Like, could you imagine if I said, hey, I love you guys and I love being here at junior high, but I was always in a bad attitude. And when if you asked me for help, I was mean to you and I didn't want to play games with you guys and I made you guys feel bad. Like, that would be a hypocrite. Adam says one thing, but he's doing something else. I would never want to do that. In the same way, Jesus uses that example of that's a man who is not doing what is good. That man then stands where everyone else is in the synagogues and on the streets. So the synagogues was basically a small temple, and he stands on the streets where everyone is, and he plays a trumpet. He plays one of the loudest instruments that you could have, and he plays that so that everyone looks at him, and then when everyone looks at him, he gives something to the poor person. That's not a heart that loves well. That's a heart that's thinking about themselves. And then secondly, in verses 5 through 6, we have our next example, praying for others. And guys, that prayer is, as we said, giving is recognizing what God has done and going and giving to someone else. Prayer is recognizing what God has done and then saying, I want to go back to Jesus and I want to thank him for everything that he's done. Jesus, I want to thank you that you gave me a house, that you gave me parents that love me, that I'm at a church where I can have fun and hear your word, that I can go to school, that I have siblings. I realize you have given me all of these things, and I just simply want to acknowledge that and say, thank you, Lord. And as we said, that God commands his children to pray all throughout the Bible, starting in Psalm 145. God is near to all those who call him, to all who call upon him, he will bless them in truth. That God says he wants his children to look back at him and say, thank you. He wants his children to look at him and say, God, I need help right now. He wants us to bring the stuff that's important to us to him. I think of Daniel 6, where Daniel is a young man and he's taken to a different country. And then King Darius puts out a law that says, no one can pray to God. People can only pray to me. And if you break that law, I'm going to kill you. Like that's a hard place to be. Jesus tells me to pray to him, but my government says, I can't do that. And what does Daniel do? Daniel doesn't go make a big ceremony. He doesn't stand on the corner and sound a trumpet. Daniel 6:10 tells us that when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, Daniel went into his house and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. That when other people said, you can't pray to God, Daniel realized that praying to the Lord was so important that he did it knowing that he could be harmed. And if you guys remember the rest of Daniel 6, bad people found Daniel, brought him before the king. The king threw him in the lion's den, and the Lord saved him. The Lord said, I'm going to protect people that love me and serve me, not so that they can get something, but because they love me. And that's why Daniel is a phenomenal example of what prayer does look like. Next, let's talk a little bit about then, we've talked about good acts for bad reasons. Let's talk about some good acts for good reasons. What does that look like today in our passage? Well, in verses 3 and 5, that Jesus says this twice, he wants us to do it in secret. That's weird, doing it in secret. Is that like I have to hide it from everyone? No one can know? Like, how does that work? But no, it's not that. It's not hiding your love. It's just focusing on God and the person as I'm doing it. Doing it in secret doesn't mean, hey, if I know someone needs help or if they're hungry, I have to leave the food somewhere and I just hope that they find it. It's that I'm not going to try to get everyone to hear that I'm helping somebody. In the same way that our man in verses 2 through 4 is trying to get everyone's attention, if he would have just gone up to the gentleman and said, hey, do you need some money? Do you need clothes? I would love to help. Can we talk about that? God would say that's doing that in secret. Even though he's in front of everybody, he's focusing on God and he's focusing on the person. In the same way, we talked about in Daniel 6, Daniel is saying, I'm praying to God. I'm praying about everything in my life. I'm praying for an entire nation that doesn't love Jesus. But I'm going to do that in my room. I'm going to do that in a way that just focuses on God and focuses on the other people. And a question that you can ask, when you're doing this is, what helps that person the most? Hey, if my sibling needs, or if my brother or sister needs help cleaning the room, I'm not going to go yell, Mom, Dad, I'm helping my brother or my sister clean the room like you want me to do. That doesn't help them. I can just go and I can help them clean their room. Or if someone at school needs help on an assignment, you don't have to stand up in front of the entire class and announce that you're helping someone. You can just quietly go over and you can help that person. That would be doing it in secret, and that would be focusing on serving the Lord and just loving people that are around you. And the next thing that we see is that God promises to reward this. Let's think about that for a little bit. Guys, there's a lot in this world that we don't know. I might not know what the weather's going to be like a month from now. There are so many things that I don't know what's going to happen. But the Lord does tell us, if we serve others in this way, if we're focusing on God and others, he's going to reward us for that. He is going to help us enjoy him. That means we're going to understand, God, you've given me everything. You are the best thing in my life. Lord, I just simply want to do that for other people. And then we've also seen here that he's going to give you a reward in heaven. He's going to help you enjoy him better for the rest of eternity. And that is the best thing that we could have. We started off today with asking the question, or we put the statement, what I do shows what I love. Let's think about that with the two examples that we had. The person who is giving something to the person on the street, but is doing that so that they can be filmed or they could be seen, they're focusing on themselves. They're not focusing on God. The person who prays, but he prays really loud so that other people hear him, he's not even focusing on the words that he says. He's focusing on just other people seeing him. Guys, what I do shows what I love. If you say, I love Jesus, then the way that you serve others should be focused on Jesus and others. It shouldn't be focused on them. Guys, I was praying last night about the sermon, just praying, Lord, can you help me? I need some help. And guys, a couple minutes into my prayer, I realized everything that I had been praying wasn't Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you deserve this. I want to do this for you. I realized that even in preparing this sermon, I was just asking God for a bunch of things. Jesus, I pray that I get a good night's sleep. I pray that you just help me find a good analogy. I pray that you just give me the words to say these things. Even in doing really, really good things like preaching, the Lord showed me I need to be focusing on God and loving him, not just the stuff that I have to do for work. And I would encourage you guys to think, like, pray through that this week. Ask your parents about that. Talk to your small group leader. Not just what am I doing, but why am I doing it? And the correct answer of why we're doing things is because we love God. We love God because he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us when we hated him and we wanted nothing to do with him. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could spend eternity with him forever. And not just spend eternity with him, but as our passage shows, so that we would get a reward and enjoy that. Guys, think about that reward. When you have the opportunity to serve yourself or to serve others, serve other people. That's what God wants us to do, and that's going to be the best way for you to enjoy life. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can just come here and spend some time looking at your Bible. Father, I pray that you would give us hearts that love you and love others. Help us just to think of practical ways that we can do that this week so that we can focus on you. In your name, amen.